that people that I had no idea about. I shared a few months ago where I met with this man and we were talking, and I've known him for years, and he told me that one of his family members was upset with me and offended at me. And I said, what did I do? He said he called you and you never called him back. My goodness, I never remember that happening. So I said, please give me the man's number. I want to call him. I want to apologize. I called him. Hey, so-and-so, this is Marty McDonald. Hey, how you doing? Good. Listen, I just want to, I know you're busy, and I want to just get to the point here. I heard, so-and-so told me that you were upset at me. Well, I was. You were upset at me because I didn't call you back. Well, yes, that's true. I said, did you call me and did you leave a message? Well, no. And I paused there and I said, hold on a second. You called me, but you didn't leave me a message and you're upset at me. Well, yeah. I said, how did I know that you had called me? Well, I don't know. I called and I thought you'd call that number back. And in my mind, I'm thinking, you've spent all this time being offended at me, really upset at me, because I didn't call you back, and I didn't even know that you called me. Can I just insert this? If you want to talk to somebody and you call them, and they don't call you back, and you didn't leave a message, you really didn't want them very bad. In fact, and for sure, you should not be offended at them. But I find out all these things, and I've been offended. Dude, there's people that I've known for years. They have upset me. You know, we have and I talk about our staff. We have a great group of people that serve in the church. They don't work for a living. They serve for a living. That's important for you to understand. They go way far and beyond anything that would be required in normal settings because they love God and they love the people of God. But you think that we haven't had wars? I'm telling you, not battles. I'm talking about wars where I'm just ready to, I don't know what I'm ready to do. But through that whole process and working it out, my goodness, we're family. It goes beyond people that just work and just hold a job. And so I wanted to just take a few minutes today and talk about conquering offenses, because offense is a tool of the devil to bring and to hold people into captivity. And I've discovered here in study that offended people are a part of two categories. One is those who have been truly treated unjustly, and then those who just believe they have been treated unjustly. And let me preface all this again and say, this isn't toward anybody. I'm talking about me right now, okay? Can you receive that? I'm talking about me. I'm talking about being offended and being an offender and doing. But the second category of people, they truly believe that their hearts have been wronged. Just like the man that I told you, he believed that he had been wronged, but their conclusions are drawn from inaccurate information. And I wanted to tell you that story because it fits so well with this here. Inaccurate information holding an offense that hinders a person's life. And sometimes the information is accurate, but it still produces a distorted conclusion to the whole thing. Either way, people get hurt and their understanding has been darkened, and they judge by assumption, appearance, and just hearsay. Well, did you hear what so-and-so? And we have to be careful with all that. But God's desire is for you and I to deal with the offense. Because if we don't, it just produces the fruit of more bitterness, anger, and resentment. Not only to the person that you were upset. Now you just get mad at everybody. And anybody says any little thing to you. Am I up here all alone this morning on this? Or is anybody identifying with what I'm saying? It can hinder us, it hardens our heart, it removes the tenderness from us, and it causes us to lose a sense of sensitivity in our lives, and we become hindered. The truth becomes darkened, and it sets up this environment for deception in every level. When we are offended, we see ourselves as victims, And then we blame others for the hurt that we're going through. We resent those even that remind us of the people that have hurt us. I could talk so much about this. I was talking to Chris last week. We had a conversation. I was telling him something about somebody that did something to me years and years ago. And I was so angry at the time and so upset. And I had to go to God and I had to deal with it. I had to forgive. They were wrong. And I still had to forgive. And you know what happened? As I'm telling him this, I'm reminded that all of that that happened because I let it go and I cast that care on God, that God used that to put a softness in my heart. I don't have compassion to the dimension that I do because I just all of a sudden grew up with it. It's because when you go through the fire of affliction, it can either make you hard or it can soften your heart. And we struggle sometimes with the speck that is in our brother's eye when the Bible says we have a revelation, the reality of we've got a log in our eye. And here's the scripture, Matthew 5:43. Jesus says, you have heard, and it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. This is important for you to understand what I'm going to tell you in just a minute. But he says, I tell you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. And many people have concluded that this scripture completely, you have heard it said, love your neighbor, hate your enemies, is an Old Testament scripture that is spoken about, but not so. The Bible never says, in fact, they pull that scripture is pulled from Leviticus out of 19:18, where it says, don't seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. Where that saying came from was the religious people in that day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, were taking that and twisting that and coming across with a humanistic statement that Jesus said, you've heard it said, that's not true. Love your neighbor, and when you do, and pray for those who hurt you, that you may be the children of the Most High God. That's what that literally means. And you can never, listen to this, you can't ever make your own spiritual rules that fit your choices, no matter what they may be about. And sometimes the more people have a relationship and the older they get. I know people that can quote the Bible from front to back, but they are miserable and they are full of bitterness and anger and resentment. And they live in that dark hole. They know everything, but they've never experienced and given the way the love that God has called them to do. And I'm not minimizing it. And I want to just keep on telling you, I'm not minimizing what somebody has done to you. I'm not minimizing that. But the reality of it is, when you filter everything through past hurts, rejections, and experiences, you will have a hard time believing that God can do anything great in your life. And I've come to tell you today, that's not true. Because when you allow Him to invade your heart in your life, He changes who you are. Because if you're offended and you stay in that, you have a hard time with forgiveness. You refuse to repent of it. And the knowledge of it just darkens the truth and the reality of who God is. And when Jesus was wrong, He did not return wrong at the moment that He was wrong. The Bible says that when they led Him away, He uttered not a word. Somebody needs to hear that. That He uttered not a word. Romans 12:2 says, don't copy the behavior, I'm reading out of the New Living, don't copy the behavior and the custom of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you'll learn God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. What are some of the causes? This is just some of the causes of offenses. Poor communication. Most conflict gets worse sometimes when you're in the heat of it and you just keep on talking. Just learn, shut it down. Psalm 141:3, set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Some of you, the door of your lips. My first response when I think of that person isn't, well, God is going to get them. My first response should be that I go to God and see what He wants to do in the situation. Another reason for offense is unfulfilled expectations. This is a big one. A lot of anger starts here. You wanted something, you didn't get it, now you're upset. I hear this all the time. Here's what the Word says, James 4:1. The causes of fights and quarrels among you, don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. You kill, you covet, you cannot have what you want, and you quarrel in your fight. And we expect something from other people that only God was designed to ever give us. Some husbands and wives need to hear that today. You get mad at your spouse because they don't meet up to your expectation when they were never put into your life to meet all of your expectations. He was. Then we have these despising differences, and even in our homes, couples, they start out, they're attracted by the differences, and then all of a sudden there becomes a battle. We don't value the difference. We get upset at it, but the reality of it is we need different. How many of you husbands and wives go to a restaurant or something, you want something, your wife wants something else, and you know, you can be totally different, and then you're in the middle of it, and your wife looks, she's got that look on her face, and all of a sudden you discover she doesn't want what she's got, she wants what you have. My pastor Ron Domina, he is the most beautiful illustration. He's been married, I think, 50 years. They'll go out to dinner. She goes, honey, I just don't know what I want. I like this, but I like, well, what do you like? She said, well, I like this one, but I like it. He said, we'll order both of them in the hand. And he'll order one, and she'll order the other, and she'll take a bite of what she ordered, and he'll look at her. She goes, yeah, I don't like it. And here, he takes her plate and puts his over there. I'm thinking, man, I want to be that man someday. Well, I get my food. You don't come near it. I'm going to hurt you if you come touch my food. And Mark 3:25 says, when a house is divided against itself, it can't stand. You have to have the harmony with the differences even. And then we have the old standby, and that's the sin nature that's always working inside of us. Romans 3:23, all have sinned. Adjust your halo. All have sinned. We all have fallen short of God's glorious standard. But we have to leave room for God to do something inside of us. So how do you deal with them? We've got several ways, four ways. We can do it my way. We can do it your way. We can do it halfway. Or we can do it the right way. And that's God's way. And there is a time for everything, Ecclesiastes says, for every season, every activity under heaven. But before you try to settle anything, you have to go to God first. And stop putting others in charge of your destiny. Put Him in charge of that. Conflict cannot continue without your participation. This is important for you to hear. If you want it to keep going, you keep your hand right in the middle of it. If you want it to stop, get your hands out of it. Let it go. Close your mouth. Even if the other person never changes, it always starts with me, and then God works on me. Romans 12:18. I've used this verse 50 times in the last 3 weeks. As it is possible, as much as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. It's not always possible, but if it's possible for you to do it, do it. So what do? I don't react. I will make pre-decisions before I get into the place where I have to do something. Ephesians 4, in your anger, don't sin. You know, if you're anything like me, I used to plan. I'm going, boy, I can't wait till I see them. When I see them, I'm going to put my arm around, I'm going to choke them until their eyeballs pop out. And you make a pre-plan in your heart to be mad. The Bible says, don't let the sun go down while you're angry. Don't give the devil any foothold in your life. Don't go there. Because when you do, you open the door for the enemy to have his way in your life. Number two, begin to focus on some good things, not only in the other person, but in your own life. Finally, brethren, Philippians 4:8, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, if there's anything excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. And let me say this, because I feel the Spirit of the Lord just pushed me right here. You can reject all you want what I'm telling you now. It's only hurting you. You need to open up your heart and receive that. I don't know who that's for. I'm not thinking of anybody, but I know when the Lord is just pushing me to say something. You got to start looking for something. What is good? What can I see good? Can I see good in anything in the situation? And I told you a few minutes ago, years ago, this situation I was in, I was so angry and so mad. And I look back at it now, and even if you can't, if you're in the middle of it and you can't find it, instead of always thinking about what happened to you is bad and negative, is anything good in that? Yes. You know what happened in that situation for me? It gave me compassion that I'd never treat anybody like that. That is good. Isn't that good? Honey, is that good? Thank God for my wife being here. Romans 12:19. Don't take revenge. Dear friends, leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, it's mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy, if your enemy is hungry, buy his lunch when you see him or her out at a restaurant. Feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, here's one. You heap burning coals on his head. Oh, good. I'm going to pile the coals on his head, and he's going to burn like fire. But the reality of what that means is burning coals was a custom. It was a gift of fire for a person who had something in need, and it was a blessing to them. Last, I'll remember God's grace to me. Boy, do I remember that. When I remember what he's done for me, how he's forgiven me, how he's helped me, how I put my trust in him. I read the scripture on Thursday night concerning the water baptism. My goodness, when I've read this all over this week, I almost came unglued. In Colossians 2:12, listen to this. Having been buried with him in baptism, today in this next service, people are going to be buried with him in the waters of baptism. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. I don't know all of you personally, but I'm going to tell you every one of you was born into sin. You want to hear some good news right now? Every one of you was born, released into this world with a sin nature inside of you. Every one. And Jesus says that when you believed in him, God raised him from the dead, also raised you up from the dead. Verse 13, when you were dead in your sins. Not when you decided, okay, now I'm going to change my life. No. When you were dead, when you were in the middle of the worst point in your life, and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive. Right when you were the worst, when you didn't even understand it, recognize it, God made you alive with Christ. Look at that. He forgave not some. Can you read it? All. Everybody say it with me. Say all. He forgave all of your sins and mine, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us, condemned us. He took it all the way. He nailed it to the cross. He disarmed the powers and authorities. All the people that would point their finger, the little pimps from hell itself that would point their crooked, nasty, dirty finger and say, you're guilty, you're guilty, you did this, you did that, you're no good, you'll never be any good. Jesus took all of that. He canceled that. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the powers and authorities, made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross that he died on. Come on, you ought to put your hands together for that today. That's what Jesus did for you and I. That's what he did for you and I. He forgave every single sin in your life. Just close your eyes with me and bow your head this morning. From the youngest to the oldest that is here, Jesus has done a work inside of your life that you could never repay him for. But we repay when we live like he has called us to live, when we act like he's called us to act, when we forgive. We move in that direction. I don't expect some of you, you're just going to wake up today when somebody's offended. Well, I'm going to go see them and make it all right. It's a process. But you can move in that process. You can move in that direction. Father, I pray for every person here today. I pray for my brothers and my sisters. I pray healing for their heart. I pray restoration for their home, their lives, their family. I pray, God, that you will begin to work in their hearts and life of forgiveness that only you can do, that only you can bring about healing and strength and peace in their lives, I ask. Hallelujah. I praise you for that today. I pray blessing and favor over every life here today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And everyone said amen. I love you so much. God bless you. Listen, if you've never been water baptized, you've given your heart to Christ, it's not too late. We even have some extra clothes. If anybody wants to stay or if you want to go get clothes, you can do that. There's going to be, 21, 22 this morning that are going to go in these waters of baptism. Just consider it, okay? I love you real. I love you. I thank God for every one of you. Go in his grace today. He's got a plan for your life. If you need prayer.